So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
Little of this and a little of that. Recording this just before 12 midnight after almost 11 hours of week one Sunday of the National Football League season with some things that stand out on both sides, good and bad, from every Sunday game. Not the Thursday game, not the Friday game. Monday game hasn't been played. But every Sunday game, this is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks to Hooters for their continued presenting sponsorship of what we do. Also a thanks to Plantation Palms Golf Club and Brandon Legal Group, your full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Email write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com for you to tell me how your team has done or is doing. You may still have players going, or your opponent may have players going, or both of you into the Monday night game. We'll try to get this posted on Monday before kickoff of the Monday night game. I want to review somewhat in order of how the games were played on Sunday, what I took out of the box score once the game was complete that was significant from a fantasy standpoint. No quarterbacks are involved here. They're their own animal. But we're going to analyze running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. No kickers, no quarterbacks, running backs, and pass catchers. All right, so from the first game that ended, and it couldn't have ended quicker for fans of the Miami Dolphins who waited that entire offseason for that shit show from Coach Cool, as the Dolphins were awful against an Indianapolis Colts team quarterbacked by Daniel Jones with a coaching staff that is fighting for their jobs. The Colts, I don't believe, ever punted. Seven possessions, just seven, scored all seven times in blowing out the Dolphins to open the season in a game that Vegas basically washed their hands of and said, pick them. We don't want anything to do with this game. And it's the biggest blowout of the day. The significant from a positive standpoint, solid debut for Tyler Warren, seven receptions, 76 yards. Very strong beginning for a tight end that many of us believe in, especially with Daniel Jones at quarterback. On the flip side, where the Dolphins fail to score, we look at their best weapon, their highest paid weapon, and we say, where were you? And he was already sort of talking and fidgeting early in the game when it was 17 to nothing. Tyreek Hill finishes four receptions, 40 yards, and no real impact on the Dolphins' fortunes positively. In what turned into, for when people thought it was the lowest total and it went lower going into the 1 o'clock kickoff between Pittsburgh and the Jets, it turned into a high scoring game where I have said for a while, Boswell's a phenomenal, underrated kicker. Kicking in Pittsburgh in your home games and Chicago is about as tough as it is condition-wise. And Boswell does it well. And then at the New Meadowlands, as I call it, what, 59-60 with a minute to go, got to make it, did make it, and the Steelers win that game. Again, we're not talking quarterbacks here. Both quarterbacks put up numbers. Aaron Rodgers with his four passing touchdowns, Fields with a lot of rushing yardage and touchdowns and passing. Breece Hall, who you know I have been very critical of from a fantasy standpoint, especially going into fantasy drafts last year. He was going much later in fantasy drafts this year, justified. On a Sunday, where only three running backs broke 100 yards, he was one of them. 19 carries, 107 yards. This is against the Steelers. 19 carries, 107 yards, and he caught two balls for 38. Fields got plenty on the ground and touchdowns, but where a lot of fantasy owners didn't get what they wanted from their starting running backs, if you put Breece Hall in as your RB2, that might have been the difference between winning and losing for you this week. Just because only Hall, Derrick Henry, and one other running back went over 100. And I'll think of it in just a second. ETN, that's it. Those are the only three. Those are the only three I think that were even above 85. On the negative side, Pittsburgh basically went with Jaylen Warren as their number one guy. A lot of Steeler fans and fantasy fans have been waiting for this. It's one game. It wasn't great. Even in a Steeler win, a typical Mike Tomlin wins games like this in the regular season, Warren 11 rushes for 37 yards, caught two balls for 22, one touchdown. In the Arizona-New Orleans game, Marvin Harrison very quietly put up solid numbers. 5 for 71 and a touch. We talked about in preseason podcast about how people who drafted Marvin Harrison last year were so disappointed by his lack of production. Yet at the end of the year, you look at wide receivers and look at the total touchdowns scored, and only 10 wide receivers had more touchdowns than Marvin Harrison Jr. He delivers one in the first game. And what did I also say about the Arizona Cardinals and who they look to score touchdowns? Harrison's the second option. James Conner's the first option. Kyler Murray then figures it out or takes it himself as the third option. And for all those of you who still are just ignorant to these patterns and the packages that say Trey McBride is due for a breakout, he's going to score more touchdowns than one every 50 receptions, hit 6 receptions for 61 yards and no touchdowns. Washington and the Giants. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt going into Monday night's game has the fourth best rushing yardage production in week one. On 10 carries. Did I write that down right? 10 carries, 82 yards, and a touchdown for the rookie known as Bill. On the flip side for the Giants, Tyrone Tracy had nowhere to go. 10 carries, 24 yards. Some drafted Tyrone Tracy might be sitting on your bench. Maybe you used him if you have a place to flex a running back. There was nothing there. Tampa Bay and Atlanta in a wild game late that somehow avoided overtime. A lot of replays, a lot of failed efforts by the defense to stop the opponent, to get an outright stop, even though both head coaches have a defensive background. Emeka Ebuka, 4 grabs, 67 yards, 2 touchdowns, including the game winner. This guy, from the moment he arrived in Tampa Bay, has looked the part of a big-time player. at least in the first game, at the expense of Mike Evans from a fantasy standpoint, but they're going to complement one another very, very well. I've been saying people were getting ahead of themselves on Bucky Irving, and that includes Bucky Irving talking about himself. Bucky may have had a touchdown reception, which he didn't do all of 2024. 4 catches, 8 yards, 1 touchdown, but from a rushing standpoint, 14 carries, a very pedestrian, 37 yards, no touchdowns. And the Bucs had something up their sleeve, if you didn't notice, to replace Tristan Wirfs. They actually moved their center, Graham Barton, to left tackle where he played at Duke, then put someone else at left guard and moved the left guard to center, which he had played before. So that's what Bucky was working with. The Bucs win, but the rushing numbers for Bucky are less than 3 yards per carry. Cincinnati and Cleveland. I've always said Cleveland is Joe Burrow's kryptonite. I said this was a dangerous game if you were going to take the Bengals in week one in Survivor. And if it wasn't for a Cleveland rookie kicker shanking a 38-yarder, and I guess earlier in the game missed an extra point as well, Bengals may lose this game against a lousy Cleveland team. There really wasn't anything from a fantasy standpoint to get excited about in this game. Even Jerry Jeudy with 5 for 66, 25 came on the final play by design where he couldn't get out of bounds and the clock ran out. From a negative standpoint, those of you who have invested heavily in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, you got to flop week one against the Browns. Chase 2 for 26, T 3 for 33, no scores. Las Vegas, New England, hold your ballots for that Mike Vrabel Coach of the Year. I'm smiling as Vrabel loses his home debut as coach of the Patriots to the frickin' Raiders. Brock Bowers, 5 for 103 before I believe he went out for a concussion. Genty didn't do anything spectacular. There were no big plays. Travion Harrison, for those of you who scratched that $20 lottery ticket in the fourth or fifth-ish round this year and immediately put him in your starting lineup. 5 carries, 27 yards, 6 catches, 24 yards. Not a lot to get excited about there. Carolina, Jacksonville. The last of the early games to end because of a long weather delay right in and around the half. Cam Little, 4 for 4 on field goals. Here's your big rusher before Derrick Henry did what he did and then fumble late for Baltimore. ETN. A lot of questions about what to expect from the Jaguar backfield. But Liam Cohen in 2024 was the play caller of the offense with the most passes on screens. And it made sense to get ETN first shot for a lot of reasons, and that was one of them. Granted, he only caught 3 passes for 13, but he rushed 16 times for 143 yards. Jags only scored 1 touchdown. Again, Little with the 4 field goals, but ETN, who may have gone probably sitting on a ton of benches in fantasy leagues, drafted very late in most leagues, has a big week one. Brian Thomas Jr., 1 catch. 11 yards. So some good and bad from Jacksonville. Detroit, Green Bay. Detroit's new play caller off to a bit of a rough start. Picking up right where he left off. when Todd Bowles fired him as offensive coordinator of the Jets. The bad side of that game, Gibbs 8 for 20 on the ground, 8 for 20 through the air, just available on checkdowns, as the Lions only score a garbage touchdown late. Josh Jacobs took a while to get going, but eventually got it done, 16 for 59 and a touchdown for Green Bay. San Francisco-Seattle, low-scoring game, bit of a slugfest. In the end, Niners find a way. Sam Darnold drops the ball, has it come out of his hands as he hits an offensive lineman in the back, with Seattle poised to win the game. We wondered what Ricky Pearsall would do, because he had to do it as the wide receiver won by default. Granted, he's a number one pick from just a year ago. 4 for 108 and a big play late. And he did stretch the field. It was a good start for Pearsall in a struggle of a game for the Niners. The Seahawks may have already made their decision that I have been talking about for a while, and I didn't think it would come in week one. And that was that Zach Charbonnet is a better player than Ken Walker, because Walker starts and then was out on the second possession and finished the day with 10 carries for 20 yards. Granted, he did get a goal to go look and stay in that package, but Charbonnet was clearly much more involved than any other time in the past when Walker has been healthy. Houston and the Rams. Nacua 10 for 130 and left the game twice. Roto World had some interesting analysis on how Nacua and Adams are already complementing one another, and how Adams is trying to teach Nacua to be more elusive rather than sort of inviting contact. Nico Collins, who I and many thought would get fed in this game because there's no Joe Mixon, the Texans have no other established wide receivers, Kirk was inactive, and it's not like the Rams have good corners. They're in the bottom quarter of the NFL in cornerback play. Nico, 3 catches, 25 yards. That's it. Bad start for the Texans, even though they were in the game like right to the end. Tennessee-Denver, told you the Titans would be competitive. Now, granted, Cam Ward didn't get the Titans. Didn't throw a touchdown pass, didn't run at all, had a couple of key drops from Calvin Ridley. That was the negative one from this game. If you're looking for a negative fantasy result, it's that Calvin Ridley, in a competitive game for the Titans, went 4 for 27, and he had an opportunity to do more. Granted, he had pretty much one-on-one with Surtain the whole game. J.K. Dobbins. It's not like Harvey had a bad game, but Dobbins was clearly out there and featured more and trusted more by Sean Payton. 16 carries, 63 yards, and a touch. He had some receiving numbers as well. And then in the night game, it's kind of tough to find a negative fantasy note. It's Mark Andrews had 1 catch for 5 yards. The reason why I even bring him up is because he's a guy Lamar looks for. There was no Isaiah Likely. You know, we've known about the foot surgery for a month or so that Likely, which would, you would think, well, that means more for Mark Andrews because Isaiah Likely is not even playing. And then it's an Andrews redemption game because he dropped the 2-point conversion in the AFC divisional playoff. Andrews one catch 5 yards in a game that ended 41-40. And what did I say on one of my podcasts last week? Nobody blows double-digit leads in the fourth quarter of regular season games like Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, and they did it again. And yes, Derrick Henry's on the hook for some of it. The Ravens' defense is certainly on the hook for some of it, but so's Lamar Jackson. Because on the possession where they're up 15, before the possession where Henry fumbles, where they were up, what, eight? Where they're up eight, Lamar can't keep the offense on the field, get him into scoring position, and then when there was a third possession and the Ravens again had a chance, it was three and out, right? It was either three and out or there was a first down on the first play and then three and out. But again, Lamar couldn't keep the Ravens offense on the field. There were three possessions down the stretch, last half of the fourth quarter. Ravens had the ball. All you got to do is keep your offense on the field, and Buffalo can't catch up with you. Henry fumbled away one of them. Lamar couldn't keep the chains moving on the others. Keon Coleman, 8 for 112 and a score. And granted, he ran out of the back of the end zone on one of three times McDermott went for two. That wasn't good, but that's a pretty solid game one for Keon Coleman, who we've heard had been getting more attention from Josh Allen in practices, and perhaps there's a rapport being built there or a trust being built there between Allen and Coleman. And in a wild game, he puts up 8 for 122 and a touchdown. Emails write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. There are some of my observations, good and bad, for fantasy players, not quarterbacks, not kickers, just running backs and pass catchers from every game on a fun week one Sunday. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters.